Hey guys, that was the song She's Quiet by The Home Team. We're going to have on guests Ryan and Dan to talk with us in just a couple of minutes here. As always, I don't know exactly how long it's going to take because this could be like 2 minutes of us listening new music or 10 minutes
of us bullshitting everything.
10 as if that was, yeah. 5 or 10 minutes
it,
or like
it could be 35. More than that. Who knows? We don't at all.
I almost went 5, 10, 16.
5, 10, 16. It's like when you order a pizza and it tells you like 19 to 29 minutes and you're like, what? Why are you just saying 20 to 30? I don't understand.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm a little brain dead.
Fair enough.
So I got to tell you, so we were just talking about the release radar before we started recording here and how something happened on Spotify where it's making no sense.
It's just the new release radar. It's like they don't put the newest stuff at the top anymore, which is super irritating.
But it's not like anywhere. It's not at the bottom. It's not in the middle.
It's just
like
mixed.
Everything is shuffled. It's
I don't like it. I don't like it.
It better get fixed soon.
I don't like it.
But speaking of the release radar, I had the most traumatizing experience. So there is another Brandon Flowers.
Okay.
That releases music. And I was loosely aware of this, but it's been a long time since I ran into that. Somehow, Spotify has decided that through my listening habits of The Killers and Brandon Flowers, like The Killers, Brandon Flowers solo work, that I listen to this other Brandon Flowers. And I have never streamed his music. But I got onto Spotify the other day, and I went to turn on the release radar, because it was, I believe it was Friday, I don't remember. And the song came up, and I was like, oh my god, Brandon Flowers secretly released another song. And I'm trying to pull it up right now so that I can show you the cover of it, so you can tell people how absurd it is that I would have even clicked on this anyway, thinking that it was the actual Brandon Flowers. And of course, now it's not coming up. Oh, come on. I think they took it down. I'm very confused now. Oh.
Sorry.
This makes this story significantly less funny. Anyway, it took me a good 30 seconds into this song to realize that Brandon Flowers doesn't rap. And there's no reason that he would have a hip-hop intro.
I'm glad it took you 30 seconds.
I was like, wow, he's really changing things up. And then I realized that the cover was just the face of this lovely looking black man with a purple flower overlay on top.
I actually super dig that.
I wish I could bring this up because like once you look at it, you'd be like, yeah, no, Brandon Flowers definitely did not release that.
Let me see if I can find it on iTunes.
I can't even remember what the song was called. That's the problem.
He's literally the only artist on iTunes named Brandon Flowers, so somebody got mixed up.
Oh my god, I just lost this to the whole abyss. That makes me so
unfortunate.
Angry.
I have been watching Pirates of the Caribbean for the last 2 days, and I remembered how much I love pirates.
Right, I love me pirates. Me too. And Johnny Depp.
Yes. Which is why, it's like, I think my love of pirates is why I always want to make a freaking pirate in Dungeons & Dragons. And I've tried like 4 times to make a swashbuckler rogue. And every time we play like one day and then the campaign falls apart. It's very upsetting.
Oh no.
We're starting a new campaign, but I made a monk instead because I've never played a monk, so... And everybody was making fun of me because they're like, she's going to make a rogue. I like rogues and I never get to play one because y'all just quit playing with me. The one time I made something that wasn't a rogue, it lasted over a year and it's still going. I made a cleric. So now I'm a cleric forever.
I don't know what any of this means.
Well.
But you sound passionate about it, so I'm going to let you keep going.
Okay, I'm actually done.
Oh.
The Dungeons and Dragons nerds that listen to us will get it.
Is this like a big subsect of our listener base?
I don't know.
We looked into those demographics.
I mean, my friends like Dungeons and Dragons, so
that's
I thought
true.
Maybe.
I would love to get into it, but I'm social distancing right now, so now is not the time.
Well, we're actually going to next week play over Discord, so.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about new music?
We can talk about new music instead of Dungeons & Dragons. Okay. So, for the last 2 weeks, I'm going to start with albums from last week. So, Silverstein dropped A Beautiful Place to Drown. Boston Manor dropped Rat King. And Hot Mulligan dropped You'll Be Fine. All three are amazing if you haven't listened to them. And there are quite a few singles, so I'm going to go through them real quick. Just the ones I really liked. Alec Benjamin dropped The Book of You and I. Paris dropped Dead Weight. The Lilac Kings dropped Are We Lovely. This one I was very excited about. Destroy, Rebuild, Until God Shows dropped a single. It's called King I Am. And I loved Destroy, Rebuild, Until God Shows. And they dropped one album and then never did anything else ever again. I think Craig Owens went back to Chiodos. Anyway, I was very excited about that one. And then Mayday Parade dropped It Is What It Is. And Hot Shell Ray dropped another single called Stay.
God, I love them.
Me too.
I really do.
Oh, I almost forgot. Steve Aoki dropped a song with Travis Barker and Global Dan called Halfway Dead. And it's really good if you all go listen to it. But I do love Steve Aoki like a lot, so.
Me too.
And Travis Barker just makes it better. Okay, so this past week, The Polarity dropped a single called Lips. Kaleo dropped a single called Alter Ego.
Well, how did you just pronounce that?
Kaleo?
Kaleo.
Kaleo? Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been saying it wrong the whole time.
Oh, my.
I've never heard it said out loud. I don't think you've ever said it to me out loud.
I think it's Kaleo.
I don't know. I made
it's
up.
It's a Hawaiian word.
That's probably accurate.
I'm looking it up.
Okay.
Because I might be wrong. You know what? The way you're saying it is how they're saying it on YouTube, but I thought when they were introduced, they said Kaleo. We might both be right.
Well, count
Hold
it.
Hold on. I'm listening to an interview he did real quick. Okay, so they pronounce it Kaleo, but the traditional pronunciation is Kaleo.
All right. Well, we're both right.
Oh. That's incredible.
That never happens. Pele Royale dropped Lonely. Dance Gavin Dance dropped Strawberries Wake. Inter Shikari dropped a song called The King. Neverkept dropped a song called Reunion Tower. And Ellie Goulding dropped a song called Worry About Me featuring Black Bear. So I obviously have to mention it because Black Bear's in it.
Yeah.
All right. Now for albums. Okay, my favorite album from this past week was Dive Liner, I Can't Sleep. It was really good. Niall Horan dropped Heartbreak Weather. Belmont dropped an EP called Reflections. And Ocean Grove dropped an album called Flip Phone Fantasy.
Hmm.
Everybody should go check out Ocean Grove. They're really good.
I just want to mention that last week The Killers dropped a single called Caution. And it's coming off of their upcoming album, and it's really good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now I close my Panda Notebook because I'm all done with new music.
That was so theatrical, it wasn't even funny.
Did you see my Panda Notebook?
Yeah, but I wish we had a video of that because you actually swung it up over your shoulder and then dropped it. So we're actually going to do something a little bit different this week in that we're just going to sign off before we go into our little interview because it's a long one and this is just the way that I want to do it this week. So.
Sounds good to me. We also never introduced ourselves or the podcast.
Oh,
so we'll do it right now. Hi, this is I'm Not Okay at Podcast. I'm Stormy.
I'm Elena.
And we're terrible at our jobs.
So if you want to see us be terrible at our jobs throughout the week, you can follow us on Instagram at I'm Not Okay Pod, on Facebook at I'm Not Okay iPodcast. You could join our Facebook group, which is I'm Not Okay iPodcast group. Technically, we have a Twitter. We have not used it much, but that is also I'm Not Okay Pod. And if you have any questions or comments, you can email us at imnotokaypod@gmail.com.
Yes. Also, if you want to rate, subscribe, give us a review or whatever.
I prefer the whatever.
On iTunes. That super helps.
Yeah, keep us in the new podcast charts.
Yes.
Keep our band seen, especially in this light of uncertainty.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing is we are not profiting off of this podcast, but the people that we have on can use the exposure. So.
And they're all really good. We try to get people that are that we really enjoy on here. So.
And they're always so funny. What is it about pop punk bands and just being funny?
They're just, it's the trauma.
I don't think we've had on any people that were like just not totally delightful and hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I always, whenever somebody asks me why I'm funny, I usually just say it's the trauma. So I assume that's everyone else's excuse too. So
no, I'm just not pretty enough.
Lies.
I just barely missed that threshold where I just need to be like a little bit obnoxious for attention. Hence the radio format.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoy listening to Brian and Dan talk about their music and stuff. Kick it! You should see what I've become. So obsessively lost in the way I love. It isn't like me though. Oh no, to just lose control. Maybe I'll stay this hard. Whether you would ask me to, I'm back into it. Ready your hands in mud. But it only gets so far without your gun. Whether you would ask me to, I'm back into it. Ready your hands in mud. But it only gets so far without you by my side.
So we're here with Brian and Dan of the home team. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you introduce yourselves by name, just so we got the voices clear?
Yeah, I'm Brian. I'm the singer of the home team.
And I'm Daniel, and I play drums.
Wait. All right, so I'm just going to dive right in. Can you guys tell me a little bit about your music tastes? Like, what bands really got you into the pop punk scene?
That is a funny question. Because lots of bands that we have toured with and met that play a similar genre to us heavily listen to pop punk, and we honestly don't.
Okay.
John, our guitarist, listens to like Fall Out Boy, Jimmy World, and then just nothing but like black metal and like slam, nothing else in the pop punk world. Lots of The Weeknd. I would say I probably listened to the most pop punk in the band. And the bands that I listened to, I guess it would be like mostly 2006 to 2010 era. So like Set Your Goals and 4 Years Strong and Early A Day to Remember. Those are big influences for me. But a lot more kind of indie stuff, like Harvard and From Indian Lakes are the stuff that I'm jamming nowadays.
For sure.
Yeah. That's totally valid as well. It doesn't have to be pop punk. That's why we ask, you know.
Right on. I also don't listen to a ton of pop punk, but there's a smattering of bands that I do really like, but I have a big long history of like progressive metal and yeah. as well as a ton of instrumental music, which is ironic because I'm the vocalist, but today I listened to a lot of alternative indie as well as a lot of instrumental, both rock and instrumental. You know, like, this is weird, but you know, like the, I guess you call it lo-fi stuff. Chill house,
oh, yeah.
to study to, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the joke way of referring to the genre. But
I was literally going to say that.
Yeah.
Somebody, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure there's like 70 Spotify podcasts or playlists that are literally just like cool lo-fi beats to study with.
Right.
So like, yeah, I feel you.
Funny enough, I actually have like favorite artists in that genre and people who I think really, really do it well. And there's a lot more than just like the really chill atmospheric songs. There's some that are incredibly jazzy and use a ton of real instruments. And ooh. There's an artist named Bureaucratic that I've been listening to for like 6 or 7 years, and he's out of New York, and he's insane, like an insane bassist. And Anyway, that's a lot of what I listen to. And then I also listen to like big name pop music. Like I love Ariana Grande.
I'm gonna say I have gone slowly from I only listen to alternative music and all that to I am almost exclusively listening to like pop music and like a little bit of indie and like in K-pop because it's essentially just pop music but in a different language.
Heck yeah.
So I feel you there. Yeah, it's a
how did
pop
you all
is good now.
No, it is. It is. How did you all start leaning into the pop punk genre then?
First off, speaking of K-pop, slight tangent on that. Did you all see Parasite?
I haven't yet. I need to watch it.
Yo,
I
know, y'all are fucking up.
They won best film this year, didn't they?
It did. I watched it.
I want to see it really bad.
I was just in Australia for a week, and on the flight home, like I've been up for like 48 hours. I got about 30 minutes of sleep. So I'm wired on coffee right now. But
oh, geez. Thank you for joining us despite that.
Oh yeah. And I just painted my kitchen. Dude, life is weird right now.
Oh my God.
But Parasite is, there's no way to anticipate what it's going to be. The name doesn't have anything to do really with the movie. I mean, it kind of does, but it highly, highly recommend. It's definitely worth a watch.
I'll have to watch it. I actually really, really wanted to watch it, but we just haven't gotten around to it yet. So it'll be on my to-do list for this weekend.
Yeah.
And it relates to K-pop because they're Korean. But that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Thanks for breaking that down.
You're welcome.
Back to the question. Dan, you can probably talk more on how it got started as far as moving into this genre goes.
Oh, yeah. So John, our guitarist, is not here. He and I started the home team. We officially started the band in 2013, but he sent me the first demos of what was eventually going to be the first EP that we put out. In like 2009 or 2010, he and I used to play in a melodic hardcore band together called Open Fire. And we just had, you know, he wrote a couple of things, sent them over to me. We literally never played any music. We just like wrote it all out on Guitar Pro. And then both of our other metal bands started touring more. So we took a break from it. And in like 2012, 2013, he and I, you know, met up and we were like, hey, kind of tired of doing the metal thing. Let's try something new. Let's go back to this pop punk thing we're working on. Then we released an EP with the original singer and we did one tour with him so that we had a singer before Brian. Then after that, we eventually found Brian, and that's kind of when the band, as y'all know us, started. So that was like 2015, right, Brian?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So we put out another EP with Brian, and then did our full length Better Off in 2018.
So you're kind of a game changer, Brian.
It changed. It did change, but I don't completely attribute that to myself. I actually, funny enough, like when I first joined, one of the reasons I felt like I was a good fit is because I actually sound like the original singer.
Really?
Yeah. And fun fact, I was a huge fan of the band before I joined because I really liked his vocal style. Like I just identified with it. I was like, oh, I get this. Like it makes sense to me. And I was the first person to buy that EP, the first one.
So were you all friends prior to that?
Nope.
Really? You didn't know them at all?
I knew the bassist. That's it. I knew the bassist.
Gotcha.
I saw that. Yeah. Sorry.
The only contact Brian and I had was he had ordered some t-shirts. So I do sales for like a screen printing company. And he had ordered some t-shirts through me for his metalcore band. And like we were friends on Facebook and that was our only interaction.
Yeah, that is so funny. That's unlike anyone we've had on here. before. That is
it. No, I was a big fan. I would jam that EP a lot.
That is so cool.
very quick story. There's one song on the EP called Sign My Own Death Warrant. And that was my favorite song. And I had this like vision in my head of me singing it live. This was before he quit, or he got kicked out of the band. I had this like vision in my head of me singing that song live. And I was like, man, that'd be so cool. I joined the band. I find out that's the only song they don't play live. I was like, oh, that's fitting.
You guys can't even do that for him? Like,
we never played it, did we? I didn't even want to after I joined. By that time, we were writing new music. I was like, let's play this new stuff. But it was, I just thought it was very fitting and funny. Anyways, so I think the band has changed really drastically since I joined. But it's also just been our writing style. And it's not just my vocals, but it's also the writing that I have contributed to the band that I think has shifted it quite a bit. But
yeah, we've gone through a couple of different phases writing wise. Like the first EP that we did, it was 100% John and me. John would write stuff out, and because he comes from a metal background, I mean, we all do, but because he's like a traditionally metal guitarist, the way that he wrote songs was literally like riff 1 through 9. And then he'd send them all to me and be like, well, how can we make a song out of this? Because in heavier music, song structure, like the pop, you know, the verse chorus structure doesn't really exist as much. So he would just write a bunch of stuff, and then I would restructure it into more of a pop song. Then when we did Better Off, our bassist at the time wrote like 3 of the songs on the record. Our old guitarist, who's no longer in the band with us, he wrote a song. John and I wrote about half the record. And then Brian wrote one of the songs, like pretty much front to back. So there was a huge collection of different writers on the record.
Which song did you write front to back?
Fashion Forward.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I love that one, by the way. We were just watching the music video together. Yeah.
Actually, the gray one looks like my cat.
Oh, yes. You gotta send the picture. Those are my cats.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I was going to ask.
He like crawled up on there, and I was like, that looks like pancakes.
Totally random question. How long did it take you to get like all that footage of them? Was that just like a one shot and it worked, or?
So here's the interesting thing about that video. The way that we had it set up is, so it's like a guitar cabin head. And then is it just the cab?
No, it had the head. They were sitting on the head.
Yeah. The head in the cab, and it's just like half of the head or half of the cabin up. There's one scene where my hand slips in because it wasn't high enough to get there was no way to get them to jump up there. So I was like underneath behind, like lifting them up. And so there's one scene like 3/4 of the way through where you can see like my hand just barely poke up. But then we spent the rest of the time, like 3 of us, throwing treats and laser pointers, trying to get them to jump off or do anything. Because they'd get up there and get comfortable and just sit.
I was like, just knowing my pets, like they would play all day. And then as soon as we put a camera on them, they'd be like, what?
Oh, yep. Yeah. There's no way Rufio would sit still long enough to be in a video. He'd just be like, what do you mean? Well, right. I have to sit here?
I think the secret behind that I think some people overlooked there. This probably like a good 30 minutes of footage at least.
Okay. That's
and I stitched it together. Awesome. And to be completely honest, there are a couple of parts and if you pay really close attention, you can tell that I sped up and slowed down. Because it made it line up. It just like had to be sped up just barely so that it lined up with the drop on the song.
Right.
But other than that, I basically just picked the funniest scenes, like them fighting during the bridge is funny.
Right. I was just like, what are the chances that all of that happened in like 3 minutes? Just
oh, yeah,
knowing my pets. But no, that's super neat. What made you come up with that idea?
Well, funny enough, that song, so I'm glad you like it, because some of the people in the band did not have faith.
Oh, he's about to talk shit.
Oh.
Some people in the band did not have faith in that song. I wanted to do like a full production music video for Fashion Forward. And we ended up doing some other songs instead, just by vote. And Revival, our record label, said, this is the best song. We got to do a video for it. And this was not super long before the deadline for releasing it was. And so we were like, well, we don't really have time to put together a full music video anymore. Let's brainstorm. And that's pretty much what we came up with. I mean, we had just done a photo shoot with the same lighting scheme. Mm-hmm. And it was already set up in there, and it was in our practice space. Our amp was there. And we figured we would give it a shot. I think it was Daniel's idea. Dan, I think it was your idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
It involves my babies. Of course it was my idea.
That's funny.
No, I just liked it because hearing the song, like, you would expect that it would be like some sort of extravagant music video. Like, it's funny. It seems so almost like Panic at the Disco-y. Mm-hmm. So
totally.
When I was looking on YouTube, I was like, oh, look, there's a video. And that's totally what I would have expected. And I like the Cats so much better for that reason.
Oh, good. That's nice. That's good to know. That it didn't just come off as like a lazy excuse for a video.
No, it was refreshing. It was like the way that Spotify is now showing all of those like random little videos behind the big songs. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just easy to look at, and I don't know.
Nice.
And is there video for that on Spotify too?
I don't think so, but I just mean that's what it reminds me of. It's just like the little things that are almost on a loop, but not quite.
I know what you're saying.
I feel like we could probably put that together though, right? There's like the loop. I don't know how to do that. It's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like I really don't know what goes into that. Because I've only seen them for certain artists.
And it's usually big artists.
It's usually like Billie Eilish or Halsey or someone definitely like
really. Knocked Loose has that behind all their stuff.
Who does?
It looks Knocked Loose. I know Motley Crue has one of somebody riding a motorcycle. I can't remember which member of the band it is.
That's sick.
But it's just somebody riding a motorcycle. But it's only on like Girls, 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 I think. It's weird.
But you guys have a decent enough Spotify following that I would think that you're able to do it. It's not like, you know.
Yeah, let's look at it.
Unheard of. Do it for the Cats.
Oh, that's the move. Is we just put like a 30-second clip of Izzy and Sophia. Just have that on a loop. Oh, money.
Right. There you go. Everybody's going to come for that. All right. I want to get us back on track just a little bit here. So we've talked a little bit about how you guys are coming from like such an eclectic sort of collection of styles. How would you define your genre? Because it's definitely not like exclusive pop punk.
Yeah, it's it's a little tough. And I mean, our go-to is pop rock. But even that kind of gives implications of, I guess, like when I think pop rock, I think like the 1975. Is that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. And we don't really sound like the 1975. It's a great band, but so I guess that's our go-to, but still it's pretty tough. And especially just because I think music in general is becoming way more niche as there are more and more bands in existence. Like there's just more voids that are being filled by different artists. And it's hard to classify these new emerging styles. So, I don't know.
I always say everything is alternative. Like, that's just...
For sure.
Alternative. What it is now.
It's so broad.
Alternative music encompasses everything.
The funniest part about that is, like, if you go to, like, your... Well, because I use Apple Music. So, if I go to alternative on there, it just, like, it'll play half of my music. And it's just, like, none of this should be in the same playlist. I'm very confused. But it's fine.
So... How do you guys feel like you went about finding your own spot in the scene, like kind of drawing on that idea of like everybody having their own niche. What was it that you feel like you put forward that kind of like landed you a solid footing?
I would probably say specifically trying not to do what everybody else is doing. I don't know. Like, and the other thing is that like the fact that we had all the different writers on that record, people writing and contributing musically to it, also probably helped quite a bit with how eclectic it turned out and how it separates itself from other bands. And I'm as much as I am proud of that, I'm happy with it. I definitely, like moving forward and reflecting on Better Off, I would like to go for a little more of a cohesive sound across the record. But unique. I don't know.
No, I can definitely see it. So was there anything specific that you avoided when you were writing Better Off? Like, was there something that you're like, we definitely don't want to do this? Or was it mostly just taking a whole bunch of ideas and just kind of combining them?
We really didn't want to suck.
It's too late for that.
It already happened.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. Because, like, I'm thinking of... we were pretty inclusive. I mean, we had to be. Because we had 5 different people writing music. Whereas most bands usually have, like, one main brain behind it and then supplemental songwriters. So, not really. Not a ton that we try to avoid.
Do you feel like anybody like kind of plays favorites when it comes to like choosing set lists and stuff like that? Like, does anyone lean towards like songs that they contributed heavily on?
Okay. Here's a story. Like I said earlier, John and I wrote about half of Better Off. Brian wrote a song, like all the way through. And then our old bassist wrote a couple songs. One of those songs that he wrote a big chunk of was She's Quiet. And that is our most streamed song by far. Like it is not even close. So we were on a tour when that song came out on Spotify, and we did not play that song once on that whole tour, because John was positive that the song was not good. He didn't like it. The rest of us were ready to go and to play that song, and he just was like, nah, song sucks. He just didn't learn it. he didn't learn how to play it. And so we had to play other songs that we had to play. Fast forward to, you know, like 3 months later, that song gets picked up on a couple of Spotify playlists. A year and a half after that, it's still on those playlists and is our most requested song by like 4 times the plays of any other song.
My God.
Now we play it every night. We can't not play it. We'll be like 3 albums from now. And that'll be like the one song I'm Better Off that we have to play every night.
What a power move, though, to just not learn it.
Yeah, that's what he said, too.
That's what he said, too. I'm telling John he said that.
Like, I don't know how, guys. I'm sorry.
But it wasn't in like a, like, fuck you guys, like, I'm not going to learn it. It was in, like, we had a lot of stuff going on. We were getting ready for tour. We were, you know, the album was coming out, so we were prepping a bunch of stuff, and everyone was having to learn all these other songs that they didn't write. So we were all learning stuff and, you know, dealing with our regular lives and everything. And when it came down to it, he just didn't have it down. Like, it was like 80% there. Like, you could tell he knew, like, he had listened to the song and he had practiced it, but like, he really, like, he had the songs that he wrote perfect. They're all flawless. But just that one song, he was just like, learned most of the way and was like,
just wasn't there.
Yeah, just wasn't feeling it. And then it became so obvious that like we had to play it that now we play it every night. So
that song's gonna be your Dear Maria. You're right. Gonna have to play it always. That's
exactly what it is.
If I get Dear Maria money, I'll take it. That's cool. Those dudes bought houses off that song.
Yeah, no kidding.
Multiple houses.
Actually, to give a serious answer to your question, though, we pretty much tailor the set list around Brian. Because, like, for drums, I can play any of the songs in any order. It doesn't really matter. Like, they're all about the same level of difficulty. But for Brian, some songs are just higher, you know, in his higher range and just require more. So, like, if we're going all out and doing all the stage performance and running around and, you know, being at, like, full volume and full energy, the harder songs, just, you know, you can't put him at the end because he won't sound as good. So we just do whatever Brian says he wants to do.
Yeah, that's smart. You say that. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I distinctly remember everybody saying we gotta play Fashion Forward at the end, and that is one of the hardest songs for sure. We made a
very compromise, though, right?
Here's what I will say: I can play all of them in the set, no matter what order. It's just a matter of how well I will do,
Torturing you in exactly. The so what's your favorite song to play live for the two of? Oh. You were about to say something. I'm sorry.
Well, actually, I can tie those two things together.
Okay, cool.
Fashion Forward is my favorite. And the what I was going to say is that over the last, like, year, disclaimer, I have done a ton of practicing, and now it is much easier to do anywhere, anytime. But the thing that I like about Fashion Forward is that it hits this specific part of my register, and this has nothing to do with the fact that I wrote the instrumentals, it was just happenstance. It hits a specific part of my register where I feel like I can get really, really good vocal tone, like just how my voice sounds. And it's something that I'm like really concerned with all the time, because pitch has never necessarily been a problem for me. It's more so I've never really thought my voice sounded good up until a couple of years ago. And that was just through practice. And so Fashion Forward for me, I especially in that, like, that second verse, I can just let loose on it and have this really nice tone, and pitch wise it's easy. And it's empowering to play that song for sure, especially at the end, because it's a hard hitting song.
It is, and your voice is gorgeous in it, and so well suited for the instrumental. So rest assured knowing that. I think that was the first song that I heard by you guys.
Oh, cool.
And it's Word. Still one of my favorites.
Nice. I'm glad you say that, because I think I would do a much better job if I re-recorded it today. But
oh, really? I think it's gorgeous.
Word. Thank you. What's your name?
Yeah. What's your favorite song to play live?
My favorite song to play live is the song that we don't play anymore. The song Something to Hold On To. Drum wise, I think that's the most interesting thing that I did on Better Off. We just decided to stop playing it because it was not getting the best response from the crowd. It's a super emotional song, and I think as a band, it just sounds good live, but it doesn't have the energy of all the other songs. So we found that it was like we'd play the song and there'd be a lot of people like, you know, nodding their head along to it, but they weren't like there was no one was dancing. No one's like jumping around or anything, because it just doesn't have the right feel. But drum wise, that, like you said, that Fashion Forward made you feel empowered, Brian.
Yeah.
There's a fill at the end of Something to Hold On To that is really fast and really hard. And when I hit it, I feel so sick. But
I say give it a few years and then try it again. I'm sure you'll have a room in tears, because
fair enough.
Like, there's something about those like older, more emotional songs that at least I know Stormy is the same way, because we've, you know, seeing shows together.
Okay, here's the thing. I cry at way too many concerts. We all know it's fine.
But there's just something about it that really hits hard, especially when there's a nostalgic factor that's thrown in.
That's a good point. That's definitely something to consider if we do end up doing like another big headliner where we're going to have a longer set. I think that'd be a really cool addition to the set list, especially if like we can't just, if we're going to have a longer set, we can't just have like high energy songs throughout the entire thing. There need to be dynamics, but
yeah,
cool. I'm glad you said that.
Well, good. Glad I could help. All right. I want to talk about your local music scene a little bit. And I'm actually really, really curious. I was just in Seattle a couple weeks ago and I had been dying to check out some shows and we ended up not being able to do it because of certain circumstances that arose. But what are your favorite like venues, artists, anything that's come from that local scene?
Yeah, Daniel, you want to start?
So the venues that we typically play at are El Corazon. That one has that's like the kind of the main, like, you know, the scene venue to play at. And then they have a smaller room next to it called the Fun House. We've played both those rooms. We also play at like an all ages art space in the Seattle Center called the Vera Project. That's where we had our CD release show. And we not too long ago played at Showbox at the Market, which is like the premier Seattle venue. Like it's right across the street from Pike's Place Market. That's like the venue people think of when they think of Seattle. I'd say those are probably my top three venues in Seattle.
There's also Hard Rock.
Yeah, we played at the Hard Rock. It's a really cool spot because like you wouldn't think of the Hard Rock Cafe as like a place that just local shows happen. It just so happens that at our, like the Hard Rock in downtown Seattle, there's a dude who plays in some local bands who does sound there. And he basically got asked to start booking local shows so they could try to get more people through the door. So we've done a number of shows at the Hard Rock Cafe and it's pretty funny because, right. It's kind of weird because it's like a, you know, it's a Hard Rock Cafe underneath. And then on the, like you go up, you know, an elevator up like a flight of stairs. And then there's just like a super cool venue and a bar up there. And for us, you know, it's not like the craziest venue in Seattle, especially because we know the guy who books there. So it's pretty easy for us to like get on a show. But when we tell like our friends who aren't in the music scene or like our parents and stuff, they find out that they were playing the Hard Rock. Like, oh my God, I'm going to come see that.
Yeah. No, that's so cool though. Like
I just did. Yeah. I've never seen that happen at a Hard Rock. So I didn't know that was a thing. That's really cool.
Yeah. I'm actually like really pissed that I didn't know about that. That like,
listen, and
what a nod to the underground
obsession
scene.
With Hard Rock Cafe. The food is awful, but I just love the what it is trying to be. I also love kitschy crap, so that's probably why. But it's
that's pretty funny.
Fun ours thing. Is in an old power plant.
Nice.
That's yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Well, we don't it's have building. One because I'm in the middle of Indiana and we gotcha. Don't have one. But anyway.
What about, are there any like local artists that stand out to you or?
Yeah, we have a ton of friends. The first ones I can think of are a band called Dead Lakes and a band called Avoid. Both of them we've been longtime friends with. And I'm sure there's like five or six other bands that if I forget to mention them, I'm going to be upset because we're close with a lot of people here in Seattle. Who am I missing? Dan.
A band that I am super psyched for. They're called Scythe Gang 666.
So, oh my God.
It's not a joke. So
I know, but
they used to be a local band called I Am Infamy. And they just went under, they just did like a whole like genre revamp and like image. They're doing like a whole new rebrand. And it's like really aggressive trap, but played by like a full band. And it's like super spooky and like just ridiculous antics. And John is in their music video they just filmed.
I am following them right now. That sounds like my favorite thing in the world.
It's going to be pretty dope. They, the reason we know them, the guitarist filled in for us on like three tours. So we've toured with him many times.
Oh my gosh. I'm just obsessed with their name.
So Scythe Gang.
Yeah.
There's another band called For the Likes of You here that we play with. We actually, our bassist is their bassist. Man, who else? Then there's a ton of other bands that play much more regularly around Seattle than we do, or any of the bands that I mentioned do. Just because we mostly stick to a touring circuit and then probably play like 2 to 3 Seattle shows a year, unless they're tacked onto another tour. Then we might play a couple extra Seattle shows. But we don't do a lot of one-offs. We don't do a lot of one-off shows here in Seattle, which is not... we used to more, but
yeah, fair.
A couple of the other bands in Seattle that are kind of closer to our genre, there's a band called Afterwards. There's another band called Fiore. We played with them a bunch. They're like super throwback emo. And then there's a band that we play with a number of times called College Radio.
And then honorable mention to Designer Disguise, because we are friends with them too.
And if you forget any, you can email them to me and I will just like robotically insert them in here or something.
And then the last one that I would be in trouble if I didn't mention is Dragged Under.
Yes.
I feel like we might actually be following them already.
Yeah, they
used to be called Rest Repose. We did a tour with them right before, about at the tour where John didn't learn She's Quiet was the tour we did with Rest Repose. And then they rebranded as Dragged Under and just put out a record and they just did a tour opening for The Used.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, cool.
Maybe that's where I've heard of them.
Yeah.
So what are your other favorite cities to travel to? I mean, you don't have to pick one, but like what are some memorable experiences from different scenes?
For sure. I'll start. I like San Diego, even though we never have good shows there.
I need to interrupt you. We have like the shows that we played in San Diego have been like the same 10 kids who have seen us like 3 times.
True.
And we played in like a nice spot. We played in a super dingy bar and it was like the same kids. A couple kids snuck in that were like definitely underage, but snuck into a bar to see us. And they go like, we're fucking going off and it was super tight, but so
shout out to all of them. Absolutely. Shout out to them. Good call. Strictly numbers wise, they're not as big of shows, but
yeah, we just haven't done well there.
Yeah. And we only played for the first time there like a year ago, not very long ago.
And so, you've got quite the fan base, base of 10 people that are very committed, it seems.
Dan and I both like Columbus, Ohio for the same reason.
My favorite restaurant. Well, I guess my second favorite restaurant, technically.
Yeah.
One of our favorite restaurants and favorite coffee shops is in Columbus, but we've never played there. We just did a 2-hour detour one on tour to get to go over there and eat.
And the rest of the band, except for us, threw a fit. How dare we drive 2 hours out of the way?
We are a little biased, but I think we would all, well, Stormy and I would both love if you played in Columbus because that's our halfway point. So,
our best friend lives in Columbus, we can stay at her house. Well, you guys play there.
Next time you're in Columbus, our spot is called Brassica. It's kind of like Chipotle, but Middle Eastern.
That's awesome.
Like hummus and falafel and pita, but like every single item is a 10 out of 10. Like your entire bowl, there's no filler. Everything is just top tier.
Yeah.
Perfect. So sounds good to me.
And it's like maybe $13 for the bowl.
I'm so mad that's 6 hours away. That sounds like my dream.
Dude, if it were 6 hours away from me, that would be a day for sure.
I took it back onto the plane to Daniel once.
I've had that happen twice.
Twice.
Amazing. Oh,
you awesome. And another buddy, both in Columbus, brought me back a bowl from there on the plane.
Awesome. So nice. What friends.
Straight up. Oh,
what were you going to say?
Oh, I have definitely driven 2 hours to go eat at Raising Cane's Chicken. Oh, so yeah. I understand. Had that
first time.
That's so good.
It's good. Yeah, for sure.
I've never had it.
It's good. It's like vegan, In-N-Out chicken.
I don't eat chicken.
There you go.
So what have been your most memorable experiences as a band or touring?
Man, we have a lot. but
I have three very memorable experiences, very positive, not funny things. One, our CD release show when we put out Better Off. That was the biggest crowd that we had ever played to in Seattle. And it was like, you know, all of our friends and family were there. We had people who flew from other states to come, you know, like spend the night with us. That's probably the most tired I've ever been at the end of a set. Like I remember literally at the end, like in the last couple songs, my brain was doing the right thing, but my arms just weren't playing the right notes. And like, it wasn't like I was messing up. It's like, I physically could not do it because I was too tired, which has never happened before. Secondly, at the end of our last full US headliner, we played in Salt Lake City as the last night of the tour. And it was the same concept. It was like just the most people we'd ever played to in Salt Lake. And it was like, about as cool of an experience as playing to like our hometown fans. So it was just super cool to be in a city that we've been touring there a lot. We hit it on pretty much every run. It was super cool to be in a city that we're not from and get like the same kind of response that we get from, you know, people in our hometown. And the third is the dates that we did opening for Don Broco, in September. That was, they're one of our favorite bands.
Us too.
Yeah.
You guys did that. That is so cool.
We only played four of them, but it was so much fun. Oh my goodness.
That is. They just seem like fun dudes.
They are. They're so nice.
I bet. Yeah. Oh, I'm so jealous of you guys, but obviously I would never be in a situation to do that. So I guess I should just say I'm very happy for you that you got to experience that.
We got to play like the first four dates of that, of their like first US headliner. We actually played in Maryland. We played at it's in College Park. It has the funny name.
Oh my God, the one that I was going to go to? Art House. Yeah.
Milk Boy Art House. Yep.
Yeah, I was dying to go to that show and I had like an early shift the next morning and I just like decided not to.
That's funny. That was the last one.
I should have gone.
You would have seen us.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really upset about that.
We'll be back. Don't worry.
Oh, God, I should have looked into the lineup.
Well, I guess it was posted. Never mind. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was just me being like I saw bands in town. I'm like, oh, I would love to see Don Broco, but like I'd seen them at Warped and I was like, I can't justify it right now.
For sure. For sure. Oh, yeah. Trust me, I've had that experience about certain shows to go to.
You guys would have swayed me, but that's fine. My fault.
What else? Dan, do you want to talk about the band that we toured with that one time?
Oh yeah, I'm skipping to your next question. Your next question is going to be tell us a funny tour story, and so here's our funny tour story. So like four years ago, I guess maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, we toured with a band, and it was two main people, and then they had like a backing band for them. So they had three other musicians. It was a drummer, bassist, and another guitarist. We had done like, starting in Seattle, we did like the whole West Coast with them. We made it over. We did like Arizona and Denver, and we were supposed to be playing in Logan, Utah the next day. So we, you know, played the show in Denver. Everybody left. Then the next day we show up to the venue in Utah and there's only three of them and instead of five. And so we asked them like, yo, where are your other two dudes? And they're like, oh, we left them. And so we're like, what do you mean? So turns out two of the dudes who were fill-ins, they had bought a bunch of legal weed in Denver and they were planning on bringing it back home with them. Turns out Utah is a dry state and they have super strict like drug laws. The singer of the band I think their brother or their cousin had gotten caught trying to bring weed over the border to Utah and literally just got like thrown in jail.
Oh, okay. Like, thanks, Pancakes.
Yeah. Hi, Pancakes.
Sorry. Like all of it messed up.
Literally just like found them at the border at like a checkpoint and threw them in jail. And so apparently they had a conversation where they're like, yo, we're not going to like let you bring this weed across. And the guy's like, yo, we're bringing this weed. And so they said, okay, well, you can either like dump the weed and continue on the tour, or we're going to drop you off here and you can figure it out. And they said, we're not giving up the weed. So they fucking left him. So they literally showed up. Yeah, they showed up to the Utah show and they played acoustic.
Oh my God.
Honestly sounded better than they had sounded earlier with those two guys anyways. But they showed up and they played like the last, actually, I think that was the last day of the tour and then they went home. So they played that one show. I remember we went to a park and we played, we like just threw a football around. They played the show acoustic and then that was it.
What dedication to weed.
Right?
Like, I know
something. Oh my gosh.
Where were they from?
They're from Montana.
Okay, so I guess it is hard to get over there, but like legally, I am sure there are plenty of drug dealers in Montana.
Yeah, I
right. Because like, what else is there to do in Montana?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, whatever.
You can ride a moose.
Oh, right. Not without weed. Apparently not. All right, I got one more just zany question for you guys, so we can end on a random note. What musician, living or dead, would you choose to be your buddy in the zombie apocalypse?
Oh, dude. Dude, Dan, you're going to be way better at this question than me because you know some insanely buff hardcore vocalists.
I would say probably Kurt Cobain because he's pretty good with a shotgun.
Oh, my God.
How dare you?
Did I just get canceled? Oh, sorry.
I wasn't ready. Oh, goodness.
All right. I just love that popped into your brain.
For real, though, the singer from Harm's Way.
There you go.
He's got me. He's got me covered. Or maybe Ted Nugent, because he's a super gun advocate, and I'm sure he's super good with guns.
Yeah. I'm going to pick my own guitarist, John Barron.
Because you're dead.
Because I've seen him do grosser things than bash a zombie skull in.
Like what?
No, I'm not going to talk about the things that John does for.
Oh my. Okay, guys. So before we go, can you just go ahead and share some of your, or not some of, all of your socials and everything where our audience can find you?
Yeah. Instagram is just the home team. Really stoked that we got that one. Everything else is pretty much the home team NW, the home team Northwest. Twitter. Man, what else is there? Facebook. there's a Snapchat, right, Dan? You still use that?
Nah, I'm off Snapchat. That okay. is dead. We're on TikTok. I think it's at the home team too.
Nice.
Because we got TikTok that one too. Like the home team and the number two. TikTok doesn't let you choose.
Oh, bummer.
You like type your name in and then it just gives you something.
You should be able to change it, but we'll go with whatever you said.
Yeah, I think the name is the home team, but it's like the custom URL is like the home.
Oh, yeah. I feel you.
Follow us on Spotify. We have a record out called Better Off.
Yeah.
So before I let you guys go, you just reminded me of another just random question that I have. This is not for you specifically, but just in general, I've been wondering, what the fuck is the difference between the Northwest and the Pacific Northwest? Is it just that you're closer to the Pacific Ocean?
I don't think that's
Nah, it's just shit. Whatever.
It's the same thing.
Okay. I've been wondering.
Yeah. I think Pacific Northwest is just a trendier way of saying it.
Okay. Just more syllables, I guess. All right. Well, thank you for answering that. And thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Yeah, of course.
Appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for having us.
Anytime.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to you guys, you know, coming back around here. And this time I won't miss it.
For sure. We will definitely be back.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good rest of your night.
You too.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
So here you are again, too late to fix what progress I've made. But I've built this confidence around, wanted so you could.